pastor, and I'm not. I am one of the elders here. My name is Michael, and our pastor is away. We actually have an interim pastor, and we're in the midst of looking for a new pastor if you're visiting with us. But when he's away, we sort of at Little Pemberton Community Church share the job of opening up the Word of God. Today it's my turn, and I'm looking forward to it. And I thought about it a little bit lately. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you two quick stories and then mention two bits of Scripture I'm not going to preach about, and then go to the one that I am. And that way I get to cheat and actually talk about three bits of Scripture. But what it's all about is church. And it's a subject that's been on my heart for a little bit now. It started... it's been around on my heart for a while, but what really brought it home fairly recently, I had a friend up visiting at my son's wedding, and it's a longtime family friend who we'll call Sean, because that's his name, and Sean and his wife met at our home Bible study many years ago, and he became a Christian about that time. And Sean was telling me that he no longer attends church, that he and a couple of other people meet in their home. And, you know, it's possible to have church in a home, but some of what he said just didn't really ring right with me. And some of the stuff he was talking about. And it got me thinking about, is church important? And what is church all about? And why do we have church? Why do we do it? Can you do it just in your home? And what makes church authentic? And all those kinds of questions. I read this little passage, and this one also kind of resonated with me. It's a great book. I gave that. It's a book about a person who sails up the coast of British Columbia in the 1930s. She's a widow, and at about age 30 or something like that, she's widowed and just gets on a small boat and goes up and down the coast of BC with her five kids, exploring all the nooks and crannies of the coast, all the way up to the Charlottes. The 1930s, the coast was a pretty rough place, and it's an astounding story, but there's this little bit that just resonated with me. She talks about growing up and what church was like for her on Sunday mornings, all through the church service in the little white church in the middle of the pine woods. A little church that smelt of scrubbed pine and hard pied benches to sit on, but little red carpet pads to kneel on, all through the surface. I listened to the thrushes ringing up, mounting and mounting, ringing down, dropping and dropping, and never heard the service at all. It kind of reminded me of church for me when I was growing up, where I could remember that I counted all of the boards on the roof and I knew exactly how many there were. But for her, church was all about the beauty of the outdoors. And she never heard the service at all. And, you know, that resonates with me. I love the outdoors. And I know so many people say that they find God in the mountains or on the water or listening to a thrush. And so how does church interact with that? So I thought about that. And I thought, well, one of the things we could look at is, and we're going to pause in the book of Matthew. I thought, first of all, of preaching on, which I'm not going to, Matthew chapter 6, or is it 4? Chapter 4. Famous passage. Right at the very beginning, the temptation of Jesus. Satan, you'll remember, takes Jesus while he's out in the wilderness and tempts him three times. And the third one is this. Chapter 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him... that's not the one I want. Let's go to 16. Forget that one. We're going to come to that one later. The other place where Satan shows up. Chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. We could spend a lot of time thinking about that. I think those words, I will build my church. Don't you wonder how he said it? I remember watching a movie with Dustin Hoffman. It just moves his eyes a certain way. I mean, just the little details. Saw one just the other day, and it was somebody just goes, communicate so much. How Jesus says stuff, probably communicate. Here's how I think he probably says this. You are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. Whose church is it? His. He will build his church. We could spend a lot of time thinking about that Jesus said he will build his church. Or we could look at another great passage and think about why is church important. We could look at actually a word. And in English, it's two words, one another. In Greek, it's one word. And the one another passages, Linda, could I just get you to throw one another up there? Are all through the New Testament. I threw that up just because it's kind of quirky. So in English, it's two words, one another. That, if you pronounce that in English, the Greek word, obviously, it'd be all alone. Kind of like all alone. Exactly the opposite of one another. And I just thought that was kind of funny. There's no real point to that. But all alone, one means one to one another. And it shows up in, the word is used 100 times in the New Testament. 96 verses. Almost every author tells us how important it is in different ways to recognize one another. We're told to love one another. We're told to care for one another. We're told to greet one another with a holy kiss. Young Randy, if you think that you want to come up and give me a holy kiss, I just encourage you to think about the cultural context. Yeah, okay, good, I'm safe. Be hospitable to one another. Care for one another. Bear one another's burdens. Encourage one another. Encourage one another to love and good deeds. How do you do those by yourself? You can't really do that by yourself. You kind of need the one another in order to do. Like I can worship God, but I'm told 100 times that I'm supposed to have you guys in mind. Like, and I kind of think the reason it's 100 times, I don't know about you, but I like being by myself. I'm probably more like that than most of you. Most of you guys are probably really social. You probably didn't know this about me. I'm an introvert. I could just hang out at my house and look out the window and see cows, and be happy. Like, that would do it for me. If the deer goes through, I'm happier yet. Bear goes through, I'm even happier yet. But I'm pretty okay just hanging out by myself. And 100 times, you have to drill it into this head because it's thick. No, Michael, I want you to encourage one another. I want you to love one another. I want you to help one another. I want you to care for one another. I'm told what to do, that's core to being a Christian. Anyway, we're not going to look at that. What I really want to look at is the last little bit of Matthew. Right at the very end, chapter 28. Now, this is, you know, the first part of the first thing I read, it's pretty famous. The one in others, not quite as famous, but lots of people talk about this. This is really famous. Like, this is one of the biggies in Scripture. The last little tiny bit of chapter 28, from verses 16 on. Actually, let's start at verse 18. And you remember the setting. Jesus has died. He's risen from the dead. And he's told his disciples to go before him to a mountain in Galilee. They go there. And the resurrected Jesus gives his final instructions to the apostles and the disciples. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Just start with that very first thought. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus says. Has he ever thought about what it would be like to have kind of supernatural powers? Every once in a while, and I'll tell you when it comes up for me most often, but I wonder what it would be like to have like way more authority than I've got. Like if I could just tell the government what to do. You know, I'd make laws that said, Canada Dreams can only drive from 2 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. on Tuesdays, and otherwise the highway is empty and I can drive along it. I'd probably reset the speed limit. There's all kinds of little things I'd do different if I had authority and I could just tell the government what to do. I'd make all kinds of new rules, exactly the rules that I wanted. I don't have that kind of authority. In fact, I don't have a lot of authority. We know people with more authority. Usually it's like a premier or a mayor, prime minister. They don't have all authority. They've got quite a bit. But they're subject to lots of control. We don't really trust any of us to have all authority, do we? You wouldn't give it to me, because you may want to go rent a Canada Dream, and you may want to drive it at 4 p.m. And you would probably just think, what a stupid rule. It's a good rule for Michael, but not a good... So you'd never trust me if I even tell you what my dumb ideas are. You'd instantly know I'm not trusting him. Jesus, it says, said, all authority. One writer said, he could do whatever he wanted with heaven and earth. It was his to do with what he wanted. What does he decide to do? He decides, with all that authority, that he's going to ask us to do something. And that's it. He asks us to go into the world and do three things. Make disciples, baptize, teach. How do you do that by yourself? How do you do that? I just don't think you can do that without a group. And you see, you get a group, you got church. It's impossible. The very summation of all of what he taught right at the end, when he finally gives instructions on what he wants to do with all this authority, is three things. Baptize, make disciples, baptize, teach. When I was a kid, I used to go to a barber shop. And you guys may, some of you who are, you know, maybe not as old as me, but getting up there, and some of you who might be a little older than me, definitely, remember the kind of barber shop where you'd have a mirror right there, and you'd have a mirror behind you. And you'd sit in the chair, and the guy'd be cutting your hair, but you look into the mirror. And what do you see in the mirror? You see a mirror. And if you look into that mirror, what do you see? You see this mirror. And it keeps going, and it just keeps for infinity. Do you kind of get that picture? Some of you guys know that. If you're a gal, you probably never sat in one of those barber chairs with the mirror, 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 mirror. So you have to kind of picture what that would be like. This is exactly like that. Make disciples, baptize, teach. What are you supposed to teach? Make disciples, baptize, teach. And what are they supposed to teach? Make disciples, baptize, teach. And what are they supposed to teach?
Make disciples, baptize, teach.
Right. And for 2,000 years, that's what we've been doing. You make disciples, baptize, teach. And those new believers are taught?
Make disciples, baptize, teach.
And on it goes. And you have church. If you wonder about trouble in life, doesn't it help to know that you've got purpose? If you wonder about not having enough money or what it's all about, to know that you got purpose really matters. If you're just struggling with anything, to know that you've got a job to do and the fellow with all authority gave it to you helps a lot. We've got a job. It's three parts. Make disciples, baptize, teach. And it's big. The one with all authority said that this was how he was going to change everything, by asking us to do those three things. And it requires us to do it together. The New Testament's really clear. All those one another's make it real clear. You kind of need one another. If you relied on me to get a potluck happening, it would be a disaster. I mean, we would have trouble. We might, maybe, on a good Sunday, have me remembering to fill the kettle. For sure, I'd forget to bring the food. It's just, I'm useless at it. But some of you are really good at that. If you wanted me to lead worship, the place would be empty. It'd be terrible. But some of you are really good at that. We need one another in order to do those three things. Church is critical. But it comes because we've been given a job to do. And the one who has all authority gave it to us. You might remember that this isn't the first time that Jesus is presented with an option to have authority. Do you recall the first time? It's right at the beginning, where I was going to go at the beginning, of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. So flip there for just a sec. Jesus in the desert, as I was saying earlier, and he's tempted three times by Satan. And the third time he's tempted is verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a, this is Matthew 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It's different, isn't it? You notice that one of the differences? He's offered all authority over the earth. He could have grabbed it. Could have pushed God away. Instead, he does neither. He just sacrifices himself. And he's given authority over everything Satan offered and heaven. Submission to God doesn't mean that we lose stuff. It means we gain. In service comes fulfillment. Jesus was offered authority over earth, and he said, no, I serve the living God, my Father. All authority is given to Jesus, heaven and earth. The Bible sort of paints this picture of the earth being under the, you know, the kingdom of the prince of this air, of this world it talks about. Under the authority of Satan. What we see here is that Jesus is given authority over heaven and earth, and it hasn't yet fully been realized. We don't yet get to see that authority fully realized. There still is sickness. There still is death. There still is cheating, lying. There's still adultery. There's still murder. There's still all kinds of things that occur. But Jesus has said, I reject you, Satan. I will follow my Father. And the Father has said, all authority on heaven and earth is yours. We're the little group who said, I want to put my flag right there and follow that one who's claimed that. And that, to me, is like we have real purpose. As a church, we're suddenly given a little glimpse of what the future looks like. A future where Jesus truly reigns. There is no sickness. There is no death. There is no murder. There is no adultery. There is just a loving, loving relationship with God and with one another. That's a beautiful picture. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and do three things. Make disciples, baptize, teach. When I thought about why I want believe in church, that was the fundamental thing. My life isn't my own. I decided to become a follower of somebody and say, you are my king, you are my Lord, and he's given me a job to do. And that's the job. I can't do it without you guys. Church isn't always perfect for me. Sometimes it's got lots of little problems and there's friction. Ours is so blessed. I mean, we as elders talk about this all the time. We don't really see many problems in our little church. It just sort of is a pretty congenial place. You know, there's things that could be better, for sure, without question. But basically, it's pretty congenial. Lots of places it's not. But it's irrelevant. I've been given a job. My king's told me what to do, and he has authority. So you and I are locked together, and I have to say I'm pretty happy. Let's pray. Jesus, you are our king, and we are so willing to acknowledge that you have all authority. We don't just acknowledge it, but we rejoice in it and are just excited that you are changing this world. We thank you as well for the job you've given us to do. We recognize how impossible that job is. And so we also just thank you for those final words. You will be with us always, even until the end of the age. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.